Lord, we pray that you'll open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word this morning. Amen. Now, over the last couple of months, we've experienced several storms. There was Storm Dara at the beginning of December, which unfortunately brought down a branch of the tree out at the church. And Iowin on the 24th of January, with winds that were up to about 114 miles an hour in Ireland. Now, the other storm which sticks in my mind was the one in October 1987. Now, I'm not sure whether you got that wind up here, but certainly where we were living in Croydon, we did. It was the one the weather forecaster got very wrong. He told the viewers that a lady had rung the BBC to say that there was a hurricane on the way. "Don't worry," he said, "there isn't." Unfortunately, there was. We lived, as I said, in Croydon at the time, and we caught the tail end of the hurricane that caused devastation. The road we lived in, when Pat and I actually slept through it. No answer to that. And when we woke up in the morning, there were the road we lived in, which was a busy main road, had trees down at each end, and we were trapped for quite a few time till somebody came along with a chainsaw. In fact, I actually rang up a hire firm and said, "Got any chainsaws?" And the guy said, "You've got to be joking." So a storm features in the New Testament reading this morning. And then earlier in chapter 8, Jesus had been traveling from town to town. He'd been preaching, he'd been teaching, and we read of a very large crowds. And it's interesting, not only did Jesus have 12 disciples with him, he also had several women as a part of the group. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. And by welcoming these women into his inner circle, Jesus broke with Jewish tradition and the strict social divisions of his day. We also read that they were financially supporting the work of Jesus out of their own means. Now, all the traveling and preaching took its toll on Jesus, which probably left him very tired. And where better to sleep in peace and quiet than on a lake? However, the Sea of Galilee was famous for its storms and sudden squalls. One minute peace, the next minute a howling gale. Notice, though, it was Jesus that said, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." Jesus went to sleep in the knowledge that he was in experienced hands. Men who knew the lake so well, what could go wrong? Here were men who'd been brought up on the Sea of Galilee. They'd been out in storms like this long before they knew Jesus. Was it more fierce than normal? We'll never probably know. But what we do know, and rightly so, they were scared stiff. Jesus is woken up, takes control, the wind goes, and peace is restored. And from this passage, we see the human side of Jesus. Jesus had a very busy time, and once in the boat, fell asleep. We know that he suffered from hunger and thirst. He felt pain. He was indeed human like us. Jesus often needed to get away, and we see other glimpses of his time alone with the disciples and at prayer. Here we see his very real need of sleep to recharge. And perhaps it's a lesson to us that we need to take time off to recharge from time to time. And a lesson I am told by someone in my house I need to take notice of. These were experienced men of the sea, but they panicked as the boat filled with water, and I guess who wouldn't? They forgot Jesus' never failing care for them in the past. They forgot what it was that drew them to him in the first place. They forgot that with him they must be safe whatever happened. They forgot everything but the sight and sound of the present danger. How like us. How often do we crumble at the first sign of problems? All we've learned and been taught seems to go out of the window. Had they forgotten the time Jesus turned water into wine in Cana of Galilee? And the times Jesus healed people and raised them from the dead? And this was to be a problem for the disciples for most of the time they spent with Jesus. They saw him at work, healing, feeding large numbers. They heard his claims to be God's chosen one, and yet they missed it. By contrast, we see the great power of Jesus. Immediately he was woken up, he calmed the storm. As a man he had slept, as Son of God, he calmed the storm. He didn't take the disciples to task right away. He sorted out the immediate problem and then questioned their lack of faith. Remember, it was Jesus who suggested going to the other side of the lake. We have to suppose that as the Son of God, he knew what was going to happen, and yet he led the disciples into it. There's something here of the Footprints poem, something that I'm very fond of. The person who in a dream was walking across a beach and initially saw two sets of footprints when everything was going well. And then when there was trouble, just one set of footprints. They questioned God and said to him, "When I was in trouble, you left me." God replied, "No, my child, it was then that I carried you." It's very easy for us to feel that when we're faced with problems that the Lord is asleep or far away and doesn't care. How wrong we are. He does care and carries us as and when the need arises. As Christians, we're never promised a bed of roses, but the strength to see it through. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed, we read, many times, that God would take it away from him. We don't know what this thorn in the flesh was, but God said to him, "My strength is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And in Greek, the word for power is the root word of our English words dynamite, dynamo, and dynamic. God's power is that strong. It's often when we're at our lowest point that we feel, when we're tired, overworked, or whatever. Jesus said to his disciples, "Where is your faith?" And well, he might ask the question, not only of the disciples, but of us too. Where is the benefit of trusting Jesus when it's calm, but not in the storms of life? It's much more difficult when the storms are raging around us. Now, when I was an apprentice, I was told, keep both hands behind the cutting edge of a tool. A sharp tool, used properly, would never cut you. Injuries happen when we break the rules. Our faith is something which must be kept sharp and used correctly. So often, we're totally unprepared when problems arise. Why? Because like Peter, we've not kept our eyes fixed on Jesus and kept our faith sharp with Bible reading and prayer. We have to keep working at it, keeping it sharp. Whilst this is easier said than done, we need to keep working at it. But the verse that stands out to me is the verse at the beginning of the reading where Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." I believe that Jesus says this to us every day. Let's go to work. Let's do the housework. Let's look after the children or whatever. Jesus wants to be involved in whatever we're doing and in whatever we encounter during the day, the good bits and the not so good bits. When we involve Jesus in everything, when our prayer and Bible reading is regular, then we're more able to cope with whatever life throws at us. We were reminded by Catherine during Advent and by Rob a couple of weeks ago of the words, "Do not be afraid." And those four words have sort of stayed with me over the last couple of months. So, where does the reading from Revelation 4 fit in with Luke 8? In the reading from Revelation, John describes a vision of the heavenly throne room. He sees a throne in heaven, and seated on it is God. radiating glory and majesty. Surrounding the throne are 24 elders, and four living creatures worship him. The vision reveals God's supreme authority over all creation. The elders and creatures declare, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They're acknowledging that God is eternal, unchanging, and sovereign over all. The entire heavenly scene is one of worship and awe, acknowledging God's absolute rule over all creation. Both passages are relevant because they focus on the power and sovereignty of God, calling believers to trust him in both life's storms and in awe of his eternal rule. Revelation 4 invites us to the throne room of God to behold his power and majesty. Just as Jesus showed his authority over nature in Luke 8, this passage reminds us that God's reign is not just over the small storms on the Sea of Galilee, but over the entire universe, including heaven itself. Jesus was both human and divine. Knowing that God is sovereign and powerful should lead us to worship him. Just as the elders and creatures fall down before the throne, we too should respond with awe, reverence and trust. Jesus' power is a revelation of God's sovereignty. In Luke 8, Jesus demonstrates his power over the storm, which is the manifestation of God's sovereignty over nature. The disciples were hopefully beginning to grasp that Jesus was not just a teacher or a prophet, but the very Son of God. Both passages encourage us to place our faith in the sovereign God. Whether we're facing literal storms, metaphorical storms, or experiencing the awe of God's heavenly majesty, we're called to trust him, trust his power, and trust his authority. In Luke 8, Jesus is physically present with his disciples during the storm. In Revelation 4, God is seated on his throne in heaven, reigning supreme. Whether on earth or in heaven, God's presence and sovereignty offer peace and security to his people. The message of both passages is clear. God is sovereign over all things. So whether we find ourselves in the midst of life's storms or contemplating the majesty of heaven, we're called to trust in his power, presence and authority. As we reflect on both the storms on the Sea of Galilee and the vision of God's throne, we're reminded that the proper response is worship. The creator of the universe is not distant or disinterested. He's present and actively involved in our lives. Just as Jesus calmed the storm for the disciples, he offers us peace in the midst of our struggles, trust in the one who has power over all things and reigns in glory. And above all, do not be afraid. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your sovereignty over all creation. Help us to trust you in every storm, and to worship you for your majesty and power. We place our faith in your ability to calm the storms in our lives and to bring us peace, knowing that you are the Almighty God who reigns forever and ever. Amen.